kingdoms of this world. We'll surrender to you, God. Oh, forever you will stand. And reign victorious.
Almighty God, we worship you this morning. We give thanks to you, God. We worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth. You are the one true God. Your name Jesus is above every name. And there is no other name whereby men must be saved but through the name of Jesus. Lord, we are thankful that you died on that cross for our sins. You rose from the dead on the third day. You said you would draw all men unto you. But Lord, you said many would resist. We pray today, God, that many will have their eyes open and they will come to you and they will accept the drawing of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So what in the world is that right there? Yeah, okay. That's a new development. All right. Well, everybody, hope everybody's doing good this morning. Well, welcome everybody to Fire and Grace Church, those who are watching and listening from all over. It's amazing. I get contacted from all over the place. We got visitors today from all over the place. So that's good to have you guys. I hope you have your Bibles this morning. I want you to first open up to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start there today. There's so many things that I can get into, and I was actually planning to get into, I think we're going to have to change mics. Yeah, hang on. All right, let's, go ahead and turn me up. Go ahead. All right, testing 1, 2. Let's go up a little bit. All right. What did I say? Acts chapter 2, right? All right. What I'm saying is that there's a lot of places I could go today. Of course, there's a lot of things going on in the world, but I felt for a little bit that we were going to go down the biblical cosmology road a little bit because I'm a little tired of the... Let me just say this. I'm going to deal with it probably in the next few weeks again and go into some depth, but let me just say this, that any minister out there that's reducing the biblical descriptions of creation to poetic or figurative language, they're just deceived. I'm sorry. And the way we can just destroy all that, number one, is that we either Genesis 1 is literal or it's not. Right? And God spent all of day 2 making this thing called the firmament. All of day 2. And I want to tell you right now that the firmament is not poetic language. It's not figurative. And the Bible tells us what it is from Genesis to Job to Isaiah to Revelation to Ezekiel, that it is a solid structure, crystalline molten glass that is over this world. And that's the way it is. That's Bible. And I can go through the whole Bible. I can go through Genesis to Revelation. And you know what they say it is? They say it's the expanse of outer space. One creation ministry says there's 5 firmaments. No, the Bible says there's 1. And the most dishonest of them all is Mr. Danny Faulkner of Answering Genesis. He is dishonest, lying, and probably really is a Freemason, the way he jokes around about it, right? Yep, and it's a little all-seeing eye triangle he put up there. Well, let me just go and tell you, I love what Truth is Stranger Than Fiction there. Will Goodrich, he did a little thing about the, you know, Justin Peters and Danny Faulkner did a long video. But one of the things, you know, Danny Faulkner's got his little letter opener from some Freemason lodge. And, you know, Will made a good point. He goes, would he be, laughing about, Nazi paraphernalia and symbology? You know, no. No, he wouldn't be joking around about that stuff. So I'm going to deal with that in the days ahead and just, again, in some more depth because I'm just sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of these guys. And let me just go on to say this. If you know, like Justin Peters, if you can't figure out that the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit are still for today, then you don't even need to be teaching the Bible. You don't understand the Bible. You don't know the Bible. Anybody teaching cessationism, that God just quit speaking, God quit moving, God quit answering prayer and doing miracles, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for today, anybody teaching that should not listen to them about anything. You understand? You say, well, Pastor Dean, they might preach the gospel. Yeah, they might preach the gospel. They might preach the basic, Jesus died for your sins and you need to believe in him. But after that, they're going to lead you down the wrong road. And so actually, when you turn to the truth, you actually make yourself a prey, what Isaiah said. We may turn to that verse in a minute. He said, many that turn to the truth become a prey for the enemy. And it's really sad, but I want to tell you right now that most of the church world in America and the West, most of them, are completely deceived. They're in the dark, not just about creation, but about the power of God, about what God wants to do in these last days. Some of them don't even believe we're in the last days. They don't even touch Bible prophecy with a 10-foot pole because they're scared. And let me just go on and say this morning. I'm just letting it rip for a minute, if that's okay. See, there's only two motivations that you can have as a minister of the gospel, as a leader in the body of Christ. There's only two. And it's either to water it down so that you can try to grow a church. I call it the church growth cult. The goal is to grow a big church, have a big ministry, make yourself a big name, have a big tithes and offerings, or your goal is to preach and teach the truth of the Word of God. And let me tell you, you can't do both of those things. Because if you preach the truth, the whole truth, the full counsel of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, if you teach it and preach it as it is, not through Baptist theology or Presbyterian theology or Copernican theology, if you teach it as it is, you will make most of the church world, the Christians, upset with you. Somebody asked me, do I know pastors that preach the stuff I preach? I say, mostly no. Why? I said, well, first of all, I don't have very many pastor friends. I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because usually it's going to be something. They might be, you know what, it's interesting. They might have the truth on biblical cosmology and creation, but then they teach once you're saved, you're always saved no matter how you live. Or they might have the truth about, you know, end times Bible prophecy, but then, you know, then they teach, well, the gifts and the Holy Spirit, not for today. Or we got the crazy kooky charismatics that are into all kinds of occult mysticism, meditation and visualization and, you know, astral projection out of their body at will and all this stuff. And then they have no clue about end time Bible prophecy because they believe a kingdom now, seven mountain mandate. They think that the church is going to take over the world and make it a better place. And they have no concept of true end time Bible prophecy. And so they're not preparing their people. So what we have is a mess in this so-called church world. I just want to tell you this right now. You better stick to the Bible on these things. They say, Pastor Dean, you know, I was raised Baptist and I'm just staunch, once saved, always saved. Well, I don't care what you were raised. I was raised Baptist too. But I ain't that anymore. Why? Because I kept reading the book. And I'm not trying to be mean to the Baptist. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I don't care about your denominations. I really don't care. And God doesn't care. Matter of fact, God says his eyes are upon the truth, period. That's it. That's all he's going to see. That's all he's going to look at. That's all he's going to bless. You better be speaking the truth of his word, rightly divided, sound doctrine, in proper context, or you are teaching falsehood. You're teaching error. And these pastors and these preachers, they are going to give an account. They're going to give an account for not preaching the entire whole counsel of God's word. I love what Paul said in Acts 20 there. Because he told them, he had been at the church of Ephesus. He'd been there. He planted the church, started it. How did he start the church? He found 12 disciples. Matter of fact, just turn there for a second. We're going to come back to Acts 2. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. How did the Church of Ephesus start? Let's address that first. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. This means disciples of Jesus. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, and we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So they didn't know anything about this. And then he said, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto them, we're baptized, what? John's baptism. What is that? Water baptism. We're baptizing too after church. Oh, and we're also having communion today at the end. So we're going to do it all today. But he says, well, John's baptism. So baptism of water. And it, you know, and then what did Paul say? John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. He says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they just knew John's baptism, but they knew about Jesus. They just hadn't been baptized as born-again Christians. So they baptized them in water. Now what do we do? What does he say? And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Oh, we don't want to talk about that tongues thing, do we? But this is why the Church of Ephesus went from these 12 guys to, by the end of the first century, it was 100,000 people. Just the Church of Ephesus. It was one of the most powerful churches. In fact, Jesus talked to that church and said, you guys are great. Now, he said at the end there, toward the end of the first century, he said, you know what? You guys have lost your first love. You need to get back to doing what you did before, because that was great. But it was a powerful church. Then Paul says, and flip over to Acts chapter 20. You know what boggles my mind is we got preachers that'll preach through the book of Acts and won't talk about tongues, healing, miracles. They won't talk about visions, dreams. They won't talk about the supernatural. They just, like, skip over it. It's really sad. The First Baptist Church a few years ago, the pastor that was there before this last one, I can't keep up with him, but taught a whole series through Acts. And every time it got to tongues or prophecy or visions or a supernatural thing, he'd skip right over that. Keep going. And you know, I have a saying. I say, you can either be a preacher of God's entire word or you can be an editor of it. You start editing stuff out, you got a problem. And listen, Jesus said this. He said this in Luke. We can find it in Luke. We can find it other places. But he said very clearly, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I'm going to be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed. See, this is why I'm different, you know. Because if I find out something's true in the Bible, I don't care if the entire church world doesn't agree with it. And I'm going to preach it and teach it no matter if everybody walks out the door. You understand? And if everybody leaves, I'll just preach to the camera. And then if they cut that off, then I guess, you know, I'll just go down and preach on the street corner again like I used to. You see, I don't care. I'm not in this for a paycheck. I'm not in this to build a mega church. I'm not part of the church growth cult. I'm not part of the let's edit God's word. Let's skip over doctrines that are uncomfortable or issues that are uncomfortable. Like I talked about eternal damnation, eternal punishment last week. That's uncomfortable for folks. But it's Bible truth. It's what Jesus taught. It's what the apostles taught. It's clear. It's one of the foundational doctrines of the church. Hell's not pretty, but guess what? Jesus said most people are going there, and our job is to try to stop them from going there. Most people are not just going there, they're digging their way there. But in Acts 20, this is what Paul said to them. He said, after you've been there for 3 years, let's go down to verse 17. He says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come unto him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have seen with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations or trials, tests, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, And he says this, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, take unto you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. He said, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And then he says, the warning, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And don't you love that? The blood of God. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse, corrupt, or twisted things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Paul said, I kept back nothing from you. I'm pure from the blood of all men. Now, if a pastor, if his philosophy of ministry is let's just water it down, let's keep it seeker sensitive, let's make sure we get people churched, let's make sure we don't offend anybody, especially the big tithers and givers. Oh, we can't talk about certain things. Oh, don't talk about adultery because our big board member who's a millionaire might leave the church. These kind of decisions are made every day. And let me tell you, when that a decision like that's made, let me tell you what happens. If the Lord was even there at all, if the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if he was there at all doing anything, he leaves. And the place becomes a dead shell of religion. And this is why a lot of you, I get more emails and messages about this than anything else. Say, I want to go to a church, but I walk in and I sit there and it's dead and it's empty. And yes, they say words, and yes, they might talk about Jesus, but something's missing. And it's not just the things that they leave out or omit, but it's the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit there, because God's eyes are upon the truth. He's going to only anoint with his Holy Spirit bold, fearless Bible preaching and teaching that encompasses the entire scripture. Anything else, I'm telling you, the moment we got to do it this way to keep people. We got to make sure we don't talk about that. The moment you do that, the Holy Spirit is grieved and he moves away. See, back a few, about 20 years ago, it was like pastor said, we're not going to talk about end time Bible prophecy because that's too controversial. So now we got a whole generation of illiterate people on that. And of course, since their pastors won't teach on it, then they go to TikTok and they get TikTok teachers that tell them all kinds of things that are not true or just incorrect. I'll give you one. This whole thing about the Geneva Bible superior to the King James Bible, that is a complete lie. I'm going to address that here pretty soon. It's actually the complete opposite of that. But you saw a TikTok video. Now, I'm not against it. God uses TikTok and YouTube and Facebook. But this is what happens. The pastors of this country have left this vacuum of Christians out there who are hungry for knowledge of the scriptures and truth. And so they find it, they'll go anywhere. It's like a hungry person, You know, a person gets hungry enough, they'll dig through the trash can. And this is what we have. We have starving sheep. And there's so many errors and deceptions out there. I mean, I tell you the truth, I weary myself sometimes trying to deal with all of them. Trying to do what God's called me to do, to just stop people from falling into the errors and the false teachings that are just abundant. And it saddens me. And, you know, like right now, we got people like, okay, I've been talking about this. I've been warning about what's happening now. I've been warning about this for decades, that the day would come that Iran would finally attack Israel and a war would eventually begin in the Middle East that's going to kill one-third of mankind. It's the sixth trumpet war. It's coming. Now, it's also called the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39. It's the war of Gog and Magog. And it tells you within that that Persia will invade Israel. Persia. Who's Persia? Iran. We know it says that Gog and Magog, everybody goes, oh, we don't know who that is. It's easy to know. It's easy to know because The Josephus, the first century historian, said what? The ancient Scythians, he said the Greeks called them the Scythians, but they were the Magogites. And where did they migrate? Right above the Black Sea. What country is that? Russia. Russians, in their version of the Smithsonian, what do they have? What are they proud of? They have all kind of Scythian artifacts and say we are the descendants of the ancient Scythians or the ancient Magogites. The Russians are not even, they're not even shy about it. It's there in laying all the archaeology in history. It's all laying there. So we know Gog and Magog. Gog is the chief prince of Magog. We know it's Russia. Then he says Persia, Libya. And he goes down this list. And he said, they're going to move against Israel. This is coming. In fact, when I was standing back there during praise and worship, the Lord said, you need to say it again. That when things change, they will change suddenly. In fact, most of you are going to be caught. Even though you've heard me warn you, you're still going to be caught off guard. You're still going to be knocked for a loop. Because we will see eventually this war in the Middle East is going to eventually touch our shores. And it's not going to be pretty. You're going to see things come to our country, our land, that Americans have never seen before. You're going to see nuclear detonations in America. You are going to see foreign troops marching through our streets. You're going to see UN troops. We will be invaded. We will be attacked. The Lord told me, though, several years ago, he said, but I will not make a full end of America. And some people say, well, the war of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38 and 39, that's not going to happen before. Yeah, that's talking about the end. No, there's two Gog and Magog wars. And the first one, he says, and you can put up Ezekiel 39, verses 1 and 2, but one of the things we know, it's not the Battle of Armageddon, nor is it the battle that comes 1,000 years later after the millennial reign. The reason we know this is because he said, I will leave but 1/6 of thee. I think it's verse 2 there. This is where God says, I'm going to turn you back. But leave 1/6 part of thee. Let me tell you, at the Battle of Armageddon, any of the armies of the Antichrist or the armies of the world, there will be none left. Jesus will kill them all. The blood will run to the horses' bridles. At the Gog-Magog war, at the end of the millennial reign, it says, whoever comes against the camp of the saints, fire just comes down from heaven. That's it. There's no leaving one-sixth of them. Now, some of you may have a Bible that's not the King James Version, and it doesn't say this about one-sixth. It leaves it out. You have a corrupted Bible. Get rid of it. I'm just being honest this morning. Can I just be honest for a little bit? And I'm knocking over everything in here. I'm a little fired up about this stuff. Say, well, Pastor Dean, we just need to preach the gospel. No, what did Jesus say? He said, me and my word. Me and my word. You know, one time I was asking the Lord, help me define the gospel. And the Lord told me, it is my word from Genesis to Revelation, if you want to know the truth about it. These people say, stuff's not important. Well, if it's not important, stuff that's in here, if it's not important, why did God put it in here? He talks about the books that could have been written, but he gave us these books. And then people go around and say, well, that part's not important. And I'm just like, you're an editor. You're an editor. And you say, well, okay, Pastor Dean, this stuff's been going on in the Middle East for a long time. Yeah, it is. But what happened this week, this attack Iran, drones, missiles, straight, they're not even, Iran wasn't even, not, they're done using proxies. And Israel says they are going to respond. Let me just go in and tell you. The Israelis, when they decide to respond, it's usually not measured. And it said that Iran is trying to hit their nuclear reactor. So what do you think they're going to do? You know, the Iranians have said that we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Drive them into the sea. Do you know what Israel has said over the years? They said, we have this thing called the Samson option. And it's called Jericho 2 missiles. They said, we will not ever again go quietly into the night and be led into concentration camps and death. They said, never again. So you know what that means? That means they will do whatever is necessary to stop radical Islamic country like Iran. Oh, and people now, see, I got all these people. Oh, the Israel that's there is not the Israel. It's just, you're deceived. God said in the last days he would restore the nation of Israel. He would bring people his back from all over the world. Say, oh, but the Ashkenazi Jews are not real Jews. Shut up. Because you forget about Mizrahi Jews, Ethiopian Jews, Sephardic Jews. And by the way, you don't have to be an ethnic Jew to be a Jew. You can convert. So all of that's just a bunch of hogwash. God fulfilled his word. Isaiah 11, he said, twice the nation of Israel would be dispersed and brought back to their land. Two times. And one was under Nebuchadnezzar. And then they were brought back by Cyrus, king of Persia, allowed it. And then they were scattered with Titus in 70 AD, scattered to the nations. And the nation was brought back and Jews began to come back to Israel from 1948, actually even before 1940. Oh, but the Rothschilds were involved. Let me tell you what, I don't care if the devil was involved. God said, this is what's going to happen, and God will use whoever he chooses to use to bring to pass what he said is going to happen.
Amen.
Period. And Israel, being a nation, and yes, for the most part, their government and most of the high officials are Kabbalists and occultists, just like our country. Nobody's saying they're a bunch of angels. But this thing about the nations and the war, You say, well, Pastor Dean, I just heard this all the time. There it is. He shall set up an ensign for the nations. He shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. You know, I flew there. I went to Israel in 1988. And when I flew from Atlanta to Paris and changed planes and got on Israeli Airlines, my brother and I were pretty much the only Americans or Europeans on there. It was all Jews from all over Europe going home. When we landed in Tel Aviv and got off the plane, I watched Jews get off the plane who had never been to their land, go down the ladder or the stairs and kiss the ground. So don't tell me God is not fulfilling His. I talked to Jews about Jesus and watched tears run down their face. Paul said He is not forsaking His people, which He foreknew, Romans 11. He said there will be a remnant in there in the last days. And He said when He comes, that remnant, He said all of them will be saved. They will all see and know their Messiah. God's going to have a remnant of His Jewish people. So I don't care if some of them are saying they're Jews and they're not. He said He will have a remnant. They are in the land in the last days and they will be no more driven out of it. And this is where we are. See, some of you, I don't have time to go through it all. I believe five of the trumpets have already been blown. I believe the next one is the sixth trumpet. And when that goes down, our world changes forever. You do understand that, right? It changes forever. When you start seeing the mushroom clouds, and you will, there will be limited release of nuclear weapons in the world. It's going to happen. It's the only way. The Bible says that this war will kill, and go to Revelation 9, it will kill one-third of mankind. That is impossible without weapons of mass destruction. And then it tells you what weapon of mass destruction is, because it says it's going to be by fire. And what are we now, 8 billion people? Is that where we are now? What's one-third of that? Somebody do the math for me. I'm too tired to do it. What's that? 2.67 billion. 2.67 billion. Whew, gosh. What is the population of China now? Is what, over 2 billion, right? What do you think is going to happen if China and Russia end up attacking the United States and we have a president like Trump? What do you think is going to happen? We have nuclear submarines that have enough nuclear warhead power to destroy entire countries. Just one submarine. Our land could be hit and be crippled, and those submarines are still there. And I haven't forgot Acts 2. Let's go to Acts 2 real quick. Because let's look at this prophecy here. This one destroys the cessationist deception too. Acts chapter 2. The day of the Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to fill the church and they begin to speak with other tongues. But go to verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, "Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke." Now in the book of Joel, it actually says pillars of smoke. Somebody say pillars. What makes a pillar of smoke? You ever seen a pillar? A mushroom cloud pillar, that's what it looks like. He says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then I want you to jump over, and he tells them how to be saved, over verse 36. He says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, means turn from your sins, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise, or the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So here's the first sermon of the church. Now the Bible talks about this, book of Joel and other places, that there would be a former rain and a latter rain. These are references to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The first rain, the early rain, that was the day of Pentecost. That's when the Lord started the church. Isn't it amazing? He started it with talking in supernatural tongues and calling people to repent and people being convicted of their sin and 3,000 people getting saved. That's how the church began. Right? But then what does he say? The church began with that and what? Huh? What did somebody say? The church begins with that, and then he tells this thing about the latter rain. The latter rain is the very last day church. That's why he says there'll be a former rain and a latter rain outpouring. And that's what we're seeing. God has promised that he's going to pour out his Spirit in the last days. And this is right before, he says, there's going to be blood, fire, pillars of smoke. He's promised. And see, I believe, and I'm just going to tell you this right now, I believe God has been pouring out his Spirit in a powerful way since about 2015. There's been a revival in the church that most of them know nothing about. Because let me just go on and tell you, what came out in 2015? A little camera called the Nikon P900. I have one. It was the most powerful zoom camera on the market. But there was also something that coincided at the same time, and that was God was, and I already knew he was working on this. I found out through many people leading up to this, but it really exploded in 2015 with this whole revelation of creation. We don't live on a spinning ball. When people began to have that camera and be able to check and see, is the earth curving at 8 inches per mile squared? And if it is, there's certain distances we shouldn't be able to see things. And that camera began to prove to people that it's not curving like they tell us. It's not a ball 4,901 miles in circumference. It's not. That camera became Nikon's best-selling camera quickly. I wonder why. So 2018, they came out with the Nikon P1000 that went from 83 times zoom to 125 times zoom. We've used these cameras across Mobile Bay. I've shown you from 11 miles, I can see the spools sitting on the dock at the port there at 11 miles. You shouldn't be able to see that. I can see the Government Plaza building down to the first floor from 14.6 miles with that camera. If the earth was a ball, that should be 70 to 80 feet, meaning I shouldn't see anything but like the top four floors of that building. This is the kind of evidence. And what happened was during that time, so many people, atheists, agnostics, ancient alien believers, New Agers, all kind of people began to see this undeniable evidence that we've been lied to about where we live. We've been lied to about it, and they begin to see this evidence. High altitude balloon footage. begin to see the whole fakery of NASA, from the ISS to the moon missions to everything. We begin to see everything. So here's the thing. If all of this was just a psyop, like, you know, the health ranger, Mr. Mike Adams the other day, said flat earth biblical cosmology was a psyop. Now, he's a psyop, but I'll get to that later. But let me tell you what happened. All of these people, and I have the testimonies. I've never seen more atheists, agnostics, ancient alien believers see the evidence that we've been lied to about the shape of the earth, about the nature, the true nature of the sun, moon, and stars. And they see this through these cameras, these high-zoom cameras. They see this stuff. They see the high-altitude. People were doing high-altitude balloon footage without the GoPro cameras that give you the fake fisheye lens curve. These are atheists who were actually going out and doing these tests and experiments, and we've done them. Lasers across 20 miles, 11 miles. We've done these kind of tests. Well, what happened? These people then, when they saw the evidence, and so we've been lied to, the whole heliocentric Copernican idea is a lie. And then they go, wait a minute. The Bible said this all along. And they ended up going, the Bible said the earth was flat and that heaven was above and hell was beneath. And they came back and they go, well, that means the Bible's true. And then it was, oh, God, if the Bible's true, then I am in trouble. And many of them, I have their testimony sent to me, cried, tears running down their face. They said, I cried when I saw it. I gave my life to Jesus. And I've got testimony after testimony after testimony. Oh, yeah, but y'all are crazy. That's ridiculous. It couldn't be a lie that big. Oh, really? But guess what happened? I really need to send a picture. Guess what happened? I think it was a couple of years ago that Nikon decided to discontinue the P900 and the P950, which are both 83 times zoom cameras. And then something happened the other day, and I confirmed this. I did the research. Something happened on February 29th. Nikon signed a contract with NASA for their Artemis missions. February 29th. March 1st, they discontinued the P1000. All right? Coincidence, right? Just a little coinkydink. Just so happens that the P900, the P950, and the P1000 are the only cameras on the market that do what they do. There's no competition. So literally what they're doing, and even a guy who kind of mocked flat earthers said this, he said, it's very strange for a company to have a camera that sells out every time they produce it, to not come out with a better version of that camera, because technology's getting better. Right? So we always should get a better version, right? It's okay. I would be fine. Discontinue the P1000. Give me the P1100, right? Let's get 200 times zoom, right? But no, what they're doing, this is a clear suppression of technology. So you know what I did? Bobby has the P1000. I had the P900 for years. I just never said, I got too many friends that have the P1000. So I just never bought the P1000, right? So what I do, the moment I heard that it had been discontinued and I confirmed it, I've got a P1000 on the way with backup batteries and everything. Don't tell me I can't have some. Because the moment you tell me I can't have it, I'm going to find it, right? And I encourage everybody right now, get you a Nikon P900 or a P950 or a P1000 quickly before they become extinct or they're $12,000, $15,000 to buy one. Because that's what's going to happen. The prices are going. In fact, because I'm talking about this today, you watch, the prices will start going up. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. They will start going up because I just told thousands of people, you better get the ones that are still out there. Because when I did the Picard, when I bought the Popular Science from 1931, it had August Picard talking about the Earth was a flat disk with upturned edge. When I bought that for I think it was $15 plus shipping, so $21.50 I think is what it cost me. And that went viral. The next one you saw was for $4,000 that somebody was selling. The next one, they after a little more time passed, it was $21,000 for a copy of the 1931. I have it hanging in my office. But see, what happened is a revival took place. And I'm talking about, see, they don't even understand. Most of the church world has no comprehension. And see, what's happened is so many people have come to the truth of God's creation and the evidence within the church and new believers that have come in and been born again through finding this truth, that now so many people are confronting their pastors. It's causing a big stir right now. And that what they say is, oh, y'all are causing division. Yeah, they said the same thing about Jesus. Remember? John 7. There was division because of him. Let me tell you the only division. Let me tell you when division comes. When the religious establishment has their own idea of the way things are, and somebody comes along with truth they don't like, then they start pointing the finger. You're causing division. Yeah, we're dividing from your lies. We're dividing from your lukewarmness. We're dividing from your deadness. If I get asked one more time, what does it matter? Let me tell you what it matters. I've seen these atheists see the evidence of God's creation the way it really is and come and accept the Bible as the Word of God and give their lives to Jesus. What's more important than that? Say, what does flat earth mean to me? I don't care if it means anything to you, frankly. You little religious snots. I mean, people talk about, well, we preach the gospel in our church. You know what? Here's what's so funny. I'll watch 100 of their services and I won't hear the gospel one time. Not the full one. Not to repent and turn from your sins and live for Jesus 100%. Deny yourself, take up your cross. I don't hear that. I don't hear that. I don't hear you can't be an adulterer, a fornicator, a drunkard. I don't hear that. You don't hear that from church. No, raise your hand. Everybody close your eyes, bow your head. If you want Jesus to save you, raise your hand. Nobody will see. Just slip it up, slip it back down. Just say this prayer and you're good. Say this little prayer. Oh, we've been so messed up. Yeah, do you see that? John 7. So there was division among the people because of him. Jesus said he came to put a sword. He didn't come to send peace, but a sword. What does a sword do? Cuts things in two. See, there's a dividing going on. And I'm just going to tell people right now. If your church is not preaching the truth from Genesis to Revelation, if they're not talking about what's coming in these last days and to get prepared, if they're not talking about repenting of your sin and living a holy life, if they're not saying what God's word says about creation and everything else, yeah, you need to get out of there. You need to tell them. God might have you tell them, but I guarantee you this, and many of you know, when you tell them, they will help you leave. They will help you leave. And you know what? They did the same to Jesus. They did the same to the apostles. Get out of here. Stop teaching in that name. Oh, what was the accusation of against the apostles? You have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. You horrible, horrible people. I like making them nervous. It's okay. I heard one of them, you know, the little snots out there. They're like, there's nobody with a degree believes in flat earth. PhD in physics right here. Our church has a PhD in physics professor that knows and believes it. Not just believes it because it's a religious thing. She knows it because of true physics. She figured it out before she ever came to our church. It's not hard to figure out, actually. Jordan sent me a video. Somebody did a video of a great video. I'm going to show it maybe next week, whenever God lets me. But there's so many videos of the clouds behind the sun and the moon. And this one was, they did put a negative filter on it. And, oh, man. And I'm just like, that's all the evidence you need. See, they can tell us all day long, you're not seeing what you're seeing. And let me just go on and tell you, they say the moon is, what, 2,100 miles across or something like that? But it makes a shadow, this, you know, set of 115 miles. Shadows don't work that way. And there's a lot of weird things that went around this clip. You know, everybody goes, oh, what was the... There's some weird stuff going on up there in the heavens. And here's the thing, I'm going to be honest with you. What does the Bible teach about the sun and the moon and the stars? See, I don't believe any of them are these rocks that are shining. I believe they're actual entities. The Bible talks of Revelation 19. There's an angel standing in the sun. Why does Jesus say the moon will not give off her light? Why does he use the term her? The Bible flat out says that what are called the so-called planets are called the wandering stars. Do you know this? That the book of Enoch foretold that in the last days the stars would change their courses and deceive mankind. Think about this. This whole, you know, one of the things they say, oh, well, you know, it has to be a ball, spinning ball, because the stars go in a different direction in the southern hemisphere versus the northern. You know, that's their big point. Well, let me tell you this. The stars could be doing that on purpose to deceive mankind. It says that they would look to the stars and be deceived by them. You say, oh, Danny Faulkner, oh, we know the distances of the stars. You don't know. If you got a star, you're saying that is 100 million light years away, and that's how long it took that light to get to the earth. Yet God, then you want to say that God only created the earth and creation was 6,000 years ago. How do you have a star? It took billions of years for the light to get here, yet you say you believe in the young creation of earth. It's a contradiction. And then Danny Faulkner's answer to that, well, God just did a miracle. Let me tell you, Danny. The miracle is that he made it all just like he said. And he said, Jesus said, the stars will fall to the earth, all of them, before he comes, as a sign of his coming. So what is that, Danny? Your Copernican heliocentric nonsense does not match the scriptures. I call him, his name's Danny Faulkner. I call him Danny Stalkner because he stalked me to Wendy's one day when we were in North Carolina and hovered over me while I was trying to eat lunch. I finally was like, what do you want? You know, my wife was like, get to the point, you know. And I didn't know who he was when he was hovering around our table. And I was like, who are, and I looked down, he had his, because we're at the first Flat Earth International Conference, so he had his, I looked down his name tag. I said, oh, I know who you are now. And all he was there to do was to say, I said, what is it you want to say? My wife's like, get to the point, because we had to get back. I was supposed to be on a panel in like 10 minutes, trying to scarf down a horrible Wendy's hamburger. And Danny Stalkner was like, your pictures across Mobile Bay, it's just refraction. I was like, oh, gosh, Danny. He and I have been round and round about that. You know, he wrote a whole article against me in after the debate, you know. And I just marvel at these guys. But you know what? They're no different. Whether you're denying the Bible truth about creation or you're denying that the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit are still for us today, all the way to the end, all the way to the second coming, or if you deny that we're in the last of the last days and these times, if you deny these things, you're just denying what the Bible says, plainly says. It's that simple. 2008, I had the Holy Spirit speak to me about preaching on end time prophecy again, though I had over the years, but I hadn't in a while at that point. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you do not want to be a preacher living in the last days who doesn't preach about it. And it was like the fear of the Lord was upon that statement to me. And I was like, oh, yes, sir. And the Lord's like, you get back to studying it and you get back to preaching on it. And if anybody looks at my stuff, boy, since then, have I? Cherie has been in this church since the beginning. Do I preach on end time Bible prophecy? Regular? Yes. So, Pastor Dean, it's been 15 years you've been preaching on it in just in this. Yeah. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. What was the warning? There's going to come scoffers and mockers say, where's the promise of his coming? Because all things are the same. No, they're not the same. They have the technology to implant the entire world with a microchip that can be tracked and read under your skin. They now have the technology to plant it in your brain. So the things the Bible said about the mark of the beast being in your hand or in your head and controlling whether you can buy or sell, that technology is here, already mass-produced and ready to go. Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, said in 2016, I have the video, I've got it out there, the video. He said in 2016, within 10 years, people will be microchipped. What would 10 years from 2016 be? 2026. So they're letting you know that's the goal. Now, they may not make it in 2026. They may make it in 2025. They may make it in 2027. I don't know when it's going to be, but it is getting very close. And these globalists, these Luciferian elitists that are taking over the world while we sleep and watch TikTok, while they're getting ready to completely lock us down and track us, and economically control everything we do. All of this is going on, and we're just sleeping. But they tell us plainly. Bill Gates says with joy on his face, get ready for the next pandemic. I'm so happy. I'm going to kill some of you folks. All he's ever wanted to do is lower the population of the world. He's so happy, but he's giddy that the next pandemic's coming. Yes. How evil is that? And he's the one that said I've got the article. Bill Gates said, we need a world government. The Pope, we need a world government. Cameron, when he was in Prime Minister of England, we need a world government. Tony Blair, we need a world government. The WHO, the UN. The UN will become the world government. It absolutely will. Oh, the propaganda. I was looking at the Weather Channel. The propaganda that came up on the Weather Channel. Hold on, let me show you this. I just took a screenshot. I said I couldn't believe it. Oh, where's that picture? I only have 60,000 pictures, screenshots in my phone. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm not. Look at this. It says like a tidal wave coming in to destroy some city. It says, grown-ups, we can fix this, right? You see that? The environmental propaganda, right? Little girl, they got another little girl. It says, see forecast 2050 on this. But if you'll notice, and I know if you zoom in on it, what does that say? What's the UN propaganda? Soon, the UN propaganda is going to be everywhere. Everywhere, because they will be the world government. And at some point, they're going to change the situation in the Security Council so that there won't be any vetoing. They will take votes of the General Assembly, which 99% is anti-American, anti-American, anti-Israel. And in the world, it'll be the issue when it says, who could war against the beast? When they all unite, finally. Who can make war against them? Because if you're a country that decides we're not going along with this, you're going to be outnumbered. Now, the reason they're scared about the U.S. and the reason that they've taken over our elections and they've taken over and put people like Biden and Obama and Clinton and the Bush family, these Luciferian elitists, they keep getting them in office is because they are scared to death. We get somebody, some yahoo like Trump, who's an American, who's a cowboy, because they don't want somebody that will actually push the button to retaliate, to protect us. They want somebody that's already bought and paid for, and that when the attack comes, will sit there and do nothing and let our country be taken over completely. That's what they want. And I don't care if you don't like Trump. There's a lot of things I don't like about Trump. But I know this. Just like Kennedy was a Democrat, Trump's a Republican, I believe both of them figured it out and go, you know what? These people are evil. They want to kill everybody in the world. They want to take it over, and I'm going to stand in the way of that. It got Kennedy a bullet in the back of the head. And I am sure they're trying to get Trump. I've heard some things I can't even talk about. Boy, when he came to Alabama, you want to talk about some security. I had never seen security like that. And he came to Alabama. Can you imagine if he goes to Saudi Arabia somewhere, the security they go through? Y'all pray for him. I'm praying that Trump becomes president. He pushed. Yeah, I hate that he did that. If I would have been him, I would have fired Fauci. And we would have provided the country with and the whole protocols. We would have gone to full. That's what I would have done. He made a terrible mistake with that. Terrible mistake. But I'd still rather have him in there when it's time for us to get attacked by China and Russia and get invaded. Y'all just don't know how many Chinese have come in our country already. Chinese soldiers are in our country. Iranian Republican Guard are in our country. They're ready to unleash. Yeah. Day X is coming, y'all. Day X is coming. I know I had y'all turn to Revelation. Turn to Revelation 9. This is what's going to happen. It's only 5 after 12. So we took that ride quick. That was just the introduction. Now, this is hopefully the final passage here, right? Let's drop it down to the sixth trumpet. Let's read this. Now, whether this, here again, this thing could calm down between Israel and Iran. But I don't think it is this time. But here's what I believe is one of the prophetic things that's to happen next. And I mentioned it a minute ago, but let's read it together. He says, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Yeah, there you go. And thus I saw horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouth and their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. It says, of course, in the rest of the, and this is interesting. This war comes, it kills one-third of mankind by fire. It says, the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. What's really interesting is that so many people now are locked in. They're locked into their sin. They're locked into their unbelief. They're locked into whether it be New Age beliefs. They're locked into many, many Satanists and witches now. That has grown and exploded. There's many people that even though this is going to happen, they're going to see this, are still not going to repent. That's what this is talking about. They're still not going to turn to Jesus. Many are going to take the mark of the beast. And let me just go on and tell you, if you take the mark of the beast, if you take go to Revelation 14, verse 9. If you take the mark of the beast, we're going to read it again. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't do it. Pastor Dean, I don't believe this. It all happened 70 AD. You've been deceived. It's Tartaria. You've been deceived. The Tartarian Empire was the millennial reign. Jesus already came in 70 AD. That is a deception. That is one of the biggest end time deceptions there is. He said, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man, somebody say, if any man. Amen. That means Christian or non-Christian. Don't tell me you're once saved, always saved. You take the mark of the beast, I don't care if you're a Christian or not, you're not going to go to heaven. He says, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now I'll go to Revelation 20. Put these together. Taking the mark of the beast is an unpardonable sin. Y'all hear me? Everybody say, there's only one unpardonable, you know, people talk about, there's only one unpardonable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Nope, there's another one. This is right here. This is you do not come back from this. See, I believe, too, that the chip, whatever they implant in you, will also begin to affect your ability to have free will, to choose. It may also affect your DNA to a degree and start changing you. Because Satan wants to make you in his image. That's why I'm about all this genetic manipulation. He says here, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now this is after Jesus. When Jesus comes back, this is what's going to happen. He will lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And then after that, he must be loosed for a little season. This has not happened yet. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, I want to show you this. He said, I saw those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Somebody say the witness of Jesus. And for the word of God. Notice how it says that he keeps those two things there. The witness of Jesus and the word of God. When you stand for the word of God, it's one of the reasons that many people in these last days are going to be beheaded. They're going to be killed, martyred for their faith. See, you can't just say, I love Jesus, and then compromise the word and be in all kinds of error. You got to stand for Jesus and the word of God. And he said, these who stood for Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark. Now notice it said worship the beast first. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. You don't have to take the mark to get to this point. If you worship the beast, what does that mean? What does worship mean? Bow down to it. Submit to it. Love it. Honor it. Oh, how many people love the world. Jesus said through James, if you love the world, you are an enemy of God. So that's why he said, if you worship, he said, those who worship the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then he says, this is the first resurrection, right? See, this destroys, just go ahead and add this for now. This destroys, this passage right here destroys the pre-tribulation rapture thing. But he clearly says there are people here who face the mark of the beast, which doesn't happen until the middle of the tribulation period. And the Antichrist is in power because the Antichrist is the one that implements it and mandates it. And how are there going to be Christians who are going to be beheaded, martyred because they resisted the beast in his image, and yet be the first resurrection? How can there be a resurrection before the first resurrection? There's no, it's the pre-tribulation rapture is one of the biggest lies that's ever been told to the church, and that the church has spread. We're here through the whole thing, you guys. Why do you think Jesus said, what? Those who endure to the end will be saved. Why do you think Jesus said in John 6 over and over again, telling the righteous, he said, I will raise him up at the last day. He didn't say last days. He said at the last day. Paul said at the last trumpet. When's the last trumpet? When every island is moved or every mountain is moved, where the cities of the nations are being destroyed. It is the last great day of God's wrath. The same day. What did he say about Lot? He said, that the same day Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone upon and killed them all. The same day that God's great day of wrath, it's the seventh trumpet, it's the seventh vial, it's the sixth seal. All of those are the same event. When those things happen, when that day, the moment before we are caught up to be with the Lord, those who are alive, changed in a moment from corruptible body, mortal body to immortal body, those who are dead in Christ, they rise first, they're given their resurrected bodies. We meet the Lord in the air, we go there, there's 30 minutes of silence because we're standing in awe because God's wrath is raining down upon the world. Then there's going to be the marriage supper. That's when Revelation 19 says the bride has made herself ready. And we have the marriage supper. And guess what happens? Right after the marriage supper, we follow him back here the same day. It's the same day. It's the great day of the Lord, not the great years of the Lord. It's the great day of his wrath. One day. But we're here through this. If you are not martyred, or killed by war or famine or pestilence or martyrdom, and you, God preserves you through this whole thing, you will be the ones alive in the rapture. And we know some will survive because the Lord said that his church, he said the gates of hell will not prevail. So he's going to have a church that's alive and still here through the whole thing. Probably be few of us. But the rapture, and that's why it says very clearly, it's what? Immediate. Jesus said immediately after the tribulation. In fact, let's go put that up. Matthew 20, 24, 29. I just feel like just upsetting the religious crowd. Just trampling their whole ideas. And guess what? All these people predicting the rapture last week, right? Who was right again? What did I say? I can assure you, I said, that the rapture will not happen on April 8th. But they keep predicting it, don't they? They keep predicting. They look at that pre-trib rapture, man, they cling to it like a baby. That doesn't want to give up the binky. It's the binky. Time to quit sucking on it, the binky. This is what Jesus said. He gives the whole scenario, the end time outline, the Antichrist coming, the great tribulation, the false Christ and false prophets, the great signs and wonders. He talks about all that. Then this will happen. Then this will happen. Then this will. He gives a chronological, Matthew 24 is a chronological sequential order of an outline of this is what's going to happen. Jesus said, this is going to happen to lead to my second coming. And here's what he says. No talk in the whole chapter about the rapture of the church, the catching away, the first resurrection. No talk about it until you get to here. And he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That's the firmament's going to be shaken.
and roll back. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, for they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And then what does it say? And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This is the seventh trumpet. When this trumpet sounds, poof, the dead in Christ, we which are alive and remain, caught up immediately as that trumpet goes, there will be that the hailstones, the 100-pound hailstones will begin to rain down upon the world. It says all the cities of the nations will be destroyed, all of them. Every mountain, the earth's going to shake so bad, every mountain's going to be brought down and every island moved out of its place. That's the wrath we're being saved from. That's the wrath we're not going to have to see and live through. It's going to be so bad, we have to be out of here. But it's the last great day immediately following that 70th week of Daniel, that seven-year tribulation period. And it says here, it's clear, that is the time Jesus sends his angels with a great sound of a trumpet to gather his elect. And they say, oh, the elect, I get this all the time. Oh, that elect means the Jews. It's not talking about Christians. Oh, really? And how come, what is it? It's 99% of the time in the New Testament that the term elect is used about the church and not the Jews. Over and over it's used for the church, for the Christians. And bottom line, let me just go and say this. I know there's people out there think that there's no Jews being saved without coming to Jesus either. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Jew, Muslim, whatever. You must come to Jesus Christ to be saved, to have your sins forgiven, to have eternal life, to live forever, to get a new immortal body and live with Jesus forever. So I don't have that. There's some people that's got the theology, oh, there's Jews going to be saved without accepting Jesus. No. The Catholic Church changed their catechism to say that Muslims will be saved without coming to Jesus. Nope, that's not true. The Roman Catholic Church is another cult heresy. You're going to be here. So why do I say this? You need to prepare yourself. You need to prepare yourself. And I'll say this. We may even be at the point where it's going to be tough to prepare. Do you know, I listened to some reports from people in Israel, and they said people are lining up at gas stations, filling up their cars, they're emptying out grocery stores. What do you think will happen the day something hits America again? You know, it snows here in a quarter of an inch, and the grocery stores are cleaned out in about an hour. Snowpocalypse for the South, right? What do you think is going to happen if a nuke detonates in New York City or Washington, D.C.? You want to talk about panic in America. People are going to go straight to panic. You better be ready. The grid can go down like this. If these cells are, they're one of the first things they're going to hit is take out, when you do a military operation, what's the first thing you take out? Communication abilities. What are you going to do when you wake up and the phone doesn't work? Some of you are going to start going to withdrawals because you can't get on TikTok. You go, I can't keep scrolling. Won't know what to do. I mean, I think some people are going to sit there and look at the black screen. What do we do now? You know what? I love my 14-year-old daughters. Dad, I want to shoot some squirrels. I'm like, yeah, this is what we're talking about. My 14-year-old daughter took her own money and bought her a survival Rambo knife. I like it. I'm teaching her how to punch and kick. She's going to be like, you know, Hunger Games lady, straight up. She wants a bow and arrow now. So, but this is what it's coming to. Are you going to be ready or are you going to panic and freak out? Do you have food if you can't get food? Think about it. I'm saying it again. Think about not being able to go to the grocery store for about 2 or 3 months. Or think about not having electricity, no light in your house, no heat, no air. Will you have water? Will you be able to filter water? Because guess what? The water coming out of your faucet may stop. Do you have first aid abilities? I've sewed myself up before, you know that? By myself, sewed myself up with no painkillers. You're going to have to be tough. You got to toughen up a little bit. Now, come over here. I'm going to sew you up. We'll fix you up. I can fix you. If you got a cut, we can fix you up. But you see what I'm saying? We don't think. People in Israel, they think like this because they know any moment they can be attacked. So they, in their minds, they are like, they're prepared. When I was in Israel, they even, in most of their buildings in Jerusalem, have these big, like, metal things that can come down over their windows. Well, we saw that in America. We're like, what is that? What is that for? Say, Pastor Dean, you're just too much. I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Because it says in Luke 21, he said that men's hearts will be failing them for fear when they start seeing what starts coming upon the earth. Where's your heart going to be? Panic? Fear? I'm telling you, there are people are going to have heart attacks and just drop dead from what they see coming upon the world. Christians are not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be at peace in the midst of the storm. We're to be prepared like Noah and Joseph. Oh, you shouldn't be a prepper. You shouldn't be prepared. Well, I'm glad Noah prepared the ark. I'm glad Joseph prepared for the famine. Oh, but God will just take care of us. Yeah, he will. But he also had them store up grain in the good years, didn't he? See, sometimes I think that we get this idea, well, God's just going to do everything for us. No, you do what you can do, and he'll come in and do what you can't do. But don't be foolish. Do you have generators? Do you have extra gasoline to run the generator for a while? You know how long it takes your food in your refrigerator to spoil? Just a couple of days, especially in the Alabama summertime. Everything in your freezer and your refrigerator can be done in just a few days. Spoiled, can't eat it. Who was it that had the dream years ago? Old friend of my wife had this dream, and she comes over in Georgia. She lives over in Georgia, and she goes to one of those churches, you know. It doesn't talk about any of this stuff. They're trying to be a mega church type thing. And she has this dream, and I know it's from the Lord. She has this dream that, and if I remember it all correctly, but basically everything in the refrigerator. Okay, she saw fighter jets in America, so the war coming to our shores. And then I remember, like she said, her refrigerator was open and everything in it was spoiled. And her husband is sitting at their dinner table, like with a look on his face, like, I don't know what to do. And it was complete, like, chaos and terror there. I mean, they were just so like, what in the world do we do? You don't want to be caught like that. So that's why I tell people, get close to Jesus, get the Word of God in you, and get ready for these things, because they are coming. You say, well, Pastor, what if they don't come in 10 years? Well, guess what? If you're ready, I got stuff I got ready 10 years ago. That's still fine. I got guns to hunt any kind of critter there is. I could take down a rhino. I got one to take down a deer at 1,000 yards. I can kill me a little squirrels too. You know what I'm saying? Ready to roll. Got a way to light my house, heat my house. You say, Pastor Dean, that's just crazy. No. It's wise to be ready. Amen? Some of you say, well, Pastor Dean, I don't have money to do. Just do what you can. I do believe God's going to do some miracles. I believe you buy a bag of rice, I believe he'll multiply the rice. You get what I'm saying? He will do, he will help you. But don't sit back and go, I'm not going to do anything. I have people all the time, they say, well, Pastor Dean, why would you have guns? Why would you prepare for this? And I'm like, well, let me ask something. Do you just sit in your house and pray for God to rain money down upon you, or do you go to work? No, you go to work and ask God to bless your work. So you go to work and you ask God to bless your work. They say, man, it won't work if you don't eat. That's going to be real, real evident in the days ahead if you're not ready. Amen? Now, we're going to have communion. So let's bow our heads and pray. And Bobby and Donnie are going to get the elements. Now, let me say this about communion. The Bible is very clear that you're not supposed to take communion if you're not in a good place with the Lord. If there's ongoing habitual sin in your life that you have not repented of, that you have not confessed and turned from, then you're not supposed to do this, because it says if you eat a drink of the cup of the Lord unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. And he said to the church of Corinth, he said, many of you are sick and some of you are dead because you did this. So this is a serious thing, and this is why I don't do communion. Some churches do it every week. Some churches do it every month. I don't do it, but every once in a while, like long while, because I don't want people to get sick and die. I want people to make sure that this is a serious matter that we do. So as we pray, I want you to take a few moments and just make sure between you and the Lord that things are right, that you've confessed your sin, that you've repented, that you've asked his forgiveness, the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, that he's number one in your life, that there's no idols, no unforgiveness toward anybody. Just make sure that you're in a good place between you and the Lord before you do this. And it's okay if it comes by to say, not today. It's okay. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you and we give thanks to you. We give thanks that you have blessed us. You've given us truth from your word, from Genesis to Revelation. You've also sent your Holy Spirit to live and dwell in us, to speak to us, to show us things to come, to teach us and guide us. And Lord Jesus, you died on that cross and rose from the dead to give us the new covenant, the new testament in your blood. And we are so grateful that you have provided the way of salvation, the way of forgiveness, the way of eternal life with you. And Lord, to have the strength to live the Christian life, to live it in the here and now. So, Lord, we get ready now to take communion, and we just ask you, Lord, to help us examine our hearts to make sure that we are clean, that we have repented of sin, that we have forgiven those that have hurt us or wronged us, our enemies, or those that just wounded us, and that we're not walking in habitual, just rebellious, sinful ways, lifestyle. Lord, I pray that you help now, Holy Spirit, bring to our remembrance anything we need to deal with. Lord, we ask your forgiveness and the cleansing blood of Jesus to wash our hearts and minds. And Lord, you said to do this communion, this bread and this wine, as a remembrance of what you did for us on the cross and your resurrection and making a new covenant. So, Lord, that's what we choose to do. Choose to do this today in remembrance of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.
They're going to pass out the bread and the wine. And as they do that, I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And for our church, don't forget, I want everybody that can to stay and come downstairs immediately after the service to witness the baptisms we have. And then we'll do lunch after that. And as they're still passing it out, I'm going to read that. This is 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read verse 26 through a few verses there anyway. It says, Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or are dead. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So that's what we are, why I'm saying to examine yourself today before you do this. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I'm very grateful for what the Lord has done for us. That there is forgiveness with Him. He said, if we would confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's amazing He is patient with us. Is there anybody that did not get the bread and the wine? Everybody good? What's that? Yes, it's grape juice. It's not real. Though I don't think even if it was, it would do anything to you. If that made you drunk, you got an issue. But no, I believe that they drank this grape juice as well. Some people think, oh, no, Jesus was getting drunk. No, that didn't happen. Well, let's read this. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians again, 11. We're going to back up a little bit. And this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So we take this bread and we say, Lord, thank you for your body, that you came in the flesh, God Almighty in the flesh, born of the Virgin, lived a sinless life. Now we take this unleavened bread as a representation of your sinless body and your sinless life, and that you laid it down willingly on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, and we are grateful that you did that. And so now we take the bread. It says, After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. He says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Let's take it. So again, Heavenly Father, we give thanks. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Almighty God, for all you've done. Bless your people. Bless and strengthen and help us prepare in every way to be ready for the difficult days ahead, for the persecution, for the mark, and that we will be with you when you return, Lord, that we will receive the new bodies, the resurrected, the glorious, immortal, incorruptible bodies that you are preparing for us for all eternity. Lord, we ask you to help us to be faithful and endure to the end that we may be saved. And whether that's the end of our life or the end of the age, either one, Lord, help us make it faithful to you through the whole thing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all know the drill. If you have to go, we understand. Did I forget something? Okay. You know, I have to say it. I get the kids that watch get upset if I don't say you hug some necks before you leave. They've called me on the carpet for not doing it one time. So, but y'all, if you have to go, we understand. Hug some necks before you leave. But please, if you can stay, we want everybody to stay for the baptism, and then stay. And you know, April birthday's today, so there's cake for the because of the April birthday people, and. We have cake, so all right. But also, if you're visiting today, and maybe if you're visiting for the first time, we do have a book. I always forget to tell people, but we don't do visitors cards and things. But you have a book over there, I guess. But we like people to just sign the book, say you were here and where you're from, whatever. And also, I feel like I'm supposed to. If you're visiting and you, especially if you come from a long way, if you don't have my books, I want to give them to you today as a gift just for coming and visit. So I usually try to give our visitors that come from a long way. So if you want one of them or all of them, it's fine with me. Just come up real quick and we'll take care of that and let you have them. But anyway, y'all know it. Hug some necks. Say bye to everybody out there. Bye, y'all.